The Lord's laid on my heart this morning to talk to you about God encounters. God encounters. An encounter with God can shift things for the rest of your whole life. It's amazing how encountering God can turn the tables for a person. I've seen it. I bore witness to it over and over again through the years. Now, I believe there are a number of you here this morning that you need that encounter with God today. For some of you, it may be the very first encounter you've ever had with God. For some of you, maybe you constantly are stirring yourself up by remembering your encounter with God. But maybe you need a fresh encounter today. You see, I don't think it's a one-off with God. One encounter and it's done. I believe our relationship with God is alive. And it's fluid. And God just surprises us left and right as we follow His Holy Spirit. This is a picture of the church I attended when I was growing up. I know it's still debated. I'm still growing up. But this is the church I grew up in. And two or three weeks ago, I was down visiting my mom in Marin County. And on the way back home, it's late afternoon, and I drove by. No one could be seen anywhere. And I drove up in front of those steps that I'd ran up and down so many times. And, of course, every time I see them, I think about the time Aunt Rhody Mac spit snuff and hit me right between the eyes. I pushed that memory aside, though. Okay, let me reel you back in. That is a true story. I got out of my car. I went over to those concrete steps and I nailed on them. And I thank my God that when I was 10 years old, I encountered Him in the altar of that little church. Now, they've got a new one built behind it back there now. But that was one of my first encounters with God. Gave my life to Jesus. Now, I didn't have a lot of understanding about what that meant in its fullness. We probably still don't, do we? But I had no way of knowing that that decision I made would align my life with why I had been created. I'm standing behind this pulpit preaching today, 55 years later, because of this decision that was made that day. And when they were singing that song this morning about one generation to the next, I couldn't help but think, you know, when I walked down that altar of that church, I wonder if it had anything to do with the fact that about a mile down the road, and I didn't know this until just a few years back, my grandmother, whose first husband was killed in an accident, married another man by the name of Lawrence, and he was Pentecostal, and they went to a little Pentecostal church about a mile down the road. That's where they did their courting, and they got married, and now I'm here. You see, God works through the generations. So what do we enjoy as a result of what grandmother, grandfather, great-grandmother, great-grandfather prayed, the decisions they made? A decision you make today may strike a mark, set the course for your grandchildren. We have no way of knowing how those things will unfold, but we do know that God encounters us, and He has a purpose, He has a reason, He has a destiny behind it. And when it's happening, we don't always know what God's up to. But I will say, when it's happening, you know it's happening. Now, some people frown upon talking about experiences or encounters or even emotions. God made us with emotions. Yes, they can get out of hand, but at least let them get out. You know? We should be passionate about serving the Lord. And our Christianity, our relationship with God is more just an academic or intellectual gathering of information. It's about a living, breathing relationship with Almighty God Himself. And when you got saved, you had a God encounter. God who is Spirit met you where you were, knowing everything about you, poured His grace out upon you, put His Spirit in you, adopted you into His family, forgave your sins, removed your guilt, changed your life. The Bible says you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we continue to change into Christ's likeness as we live our life. But these God encounters are important. And so we're going to look at three scriptures this morning, and I want to talk to you about God encounters. Now, I don't know if this is going to be a series or not. I know this is the word for today. And I know there's so many scriptures that beckon us to realize that the true and living God wants to encounter our lives. He wants to be more than just sentences read or stories heard. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to desire to know Him, to live for Him. I want you to look at a scripture with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want to talk a moment about the power of revelatory encounters. God wants to reveal Himself to us. Sometimes in order for God to reveal Himself to us, He'll reveal something to us about ourselves that we know no one else could know. Sometimes in order for God to reveal Himself to us, He'll reveal a future to us that we can't yet see, and that's through a prophetic word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul in this entire chapter is addressing order in the church. He is not telling the church at Corinth to back off of spiritual gifts. He's just saying use them correctly. Now, a lot of the church today has just backed off. But Paul wrote this chapter so that things can be done in a way that people can be edified, so that unbelievers can come to know the Lord, and so forth. In the middle of that, after talking about tongues, he puts a premium on prophetic ministry. He says in verse 24, but if all prophesy, and after he's saying, if everybody speaks in tongues and no one interprets, nobody knows what's happening. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so here's the encounter. Falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Isn't that one of the prayers that we pray and desire to see here, is that when we come together, there would be an atmosphere where people would leave saying, truly, God is in that place. Isn't this the kind of life we want to live, that if someone hangs out with us for a while, that they draw the conclusion, truly, God lives. When Jesus came and walked among men, He lived in such a way that He could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was God in human flesh. But now we are His body in the earth. We want people to see the Father through Christ expressed through us by His Spirit. We want to have services where people say, you know, I showed up at that service. I got tired of saying no and I finally went. Somebody invited me. But I met God. God is in that place. We want to have an atmosphere where people can encounter God. That's one of our values, is to encounter God's presence when we gather together. I did this morning. I could sense God's presence as we worshiped together. You could just feel the water rising, so to speak, and I love that. There's power in these revelatory encounters. A number of years ago, there was a book written called The Heavenly Man. I read it back then, and continued to hear stories about Brother Yan. Brother Yan was a Chinese young man. He was a teenager. His mother was a believer. Now, understand, in China, still, you pretty much have to do what you do underground. They loosened a little, but the powerful, Spirit-filled Bride of Christ is very much alive in mainland China. there are millions and millions of blood bought on fire for God, Jesus loving believers. His mother was a believer. His father was not. His father became deathly ill with a disease that was terminal. And John, a teenager, and his mother's family realized if he dies, they were already very, very poor. But if he was unable to get out and do things to help the family, they were in big trouble. So the wife, Jan's mother, started praying. And as a result of prayer, God healed her husband. He came to know the Lord. And Jan, young man, teenager, he came to know the Lord as a result of seeing the healing power of God raise up his father, who was at death's door. He became hungry after he got saved. He became hungry for the Lord, but he didn't have a Bible. He didn't even personally know anyone who did have a Bible. You see, back at the turn of the 1900s to close to World War II during that time, there were missionaries in China, and there were many, many people coming to know the Lord and being saved, and the church was alive, and then communism came and all that, and everything got shut down. So a lot of them still remembered, and they were passing on the gospel. He wanted a Bible. His mom said, I know one man in a village, not this village, but another village, who has a Bible. And so finally she took her teenage son to that village to meet that man with a Bible. But when they got there, the man was afraid to show his Bible to them. It could mean imprisonment for him, if not his death. And he just looked in the face of that young man. He said, listen, you need to just pray and ask God to provide you a Bible. So he was disappointed he didn't get to see the Bible or read some of that Bible. He went back to his village and he started praying. One night he had a dream. In his dream, he was working his way up a hill walking, and there was a cart that came by, and there were two men on the cart. And they began to talk to him, and they reached in the cart, and they handed him a red bag. Now, this was a dream. He saw this in a dream. They handed him a red bag, and he looked in it, and it was filled with bread. He started eating that bread, and in the dream, as he ate that bread turned into a Bible. When he awakened the next morning, he heard a knock on his door, and his mother went to the door, and he heard his mother speaking to some men at the door. When he heard the voice of one of the men at the door, he thought, oh my goodness, that's the voice I heard in my dream last night when that man was speaking to me. He went to the door, and there stood two men. They had a red bag in their hand. They extended that red bag to the teenage boy, Jan. He opened it up and pulled out a Bible. God had provided, he encountered God through a dream, a revelatory encounter. God confirmed that dream, put a Bible in his hand. Now, that fired him up. He started reading. He read the Bible all the way through. Then, it didn't take him long to do it because he was just devouring. He was so on fire as he read God's Word. Then he decided, I'm going to start memorizing Scripture. And he started in the Gospel of Matthew. And he began memorizing one chapter a day. At the end of a month, he had memorized the entire Gospel of Matthew. Then he stepped over in the book of Acts, did the same thing, and memorized the entire book of Acts after about another month. And so forth. He just kept memorizing the Word. He went out, he started witnessing, started leading people to the Lord. There, he has so many incredible God encounter stories of divine transportation, of healing, of the deliverance. It's amazing. He ended up being arrested 3 times and put in prison. The last time he was arrested and put in prison for about 7 years, they beat him mercilessly. They would take needles and put under his fingernails. They would beat him with sticks, bamboo canes. They would come in and kick him, bruise him. He felt led of the Lord to go on a fast. This is his testimony. He said he went 76 days without bread, food, or water. That's humanly impossible, but that's his testimony. At the end of that fast, prisoners started getting saved everywhere in that prison. And one day, the Spirit of God came upon him. He felt led to escape. He simply walked out in the open place in that prison. He walked right by the guards. He went up to the gates. They opened and he walked out. He ended up being able to flee the country, ended up in Germany, and became a leader in a ministry called Back to Jerusalem. You can look it up, backtojerusalem.com. Don't look it up right now. Back to Jerusalem. And the goal of that is for 100,000 Chinese missionaries to be raised up in China and to be sent to all the nations in the 1040 window between mainland China and Jerusalem. You see, it started in Jerusalem. Now they want to take the gospel back to Jerusalem in that manner. Divine encounter with God changed that young teenage man. Here's a picture of him now. Brother Jan changed his life, and as a result, countless scores of thousands of other people have come to know Christ, and now he's a leader to see 100,000 missionaries carry the gospel to the nations. You see, through a singular encounter that started in a dream, that young man was lit up by God. Pay attention to those God dreams that you have. God wants to encounter you. God wants you to encounter Him. He wants you to have a hunger for Him. If you're thirsty, He'll satisfy your thirst. If you're hungry, He'll, as it were, give you bread from heaven. He will meet you. He said, if you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Any hungry hearts in this room this morning to have an encounter with God? After we had bought this property, or we got a loan for this property, we were able to pay it off in 2 years. But right after that, our worship team was out at Word Fellowship. We had a night of worship out there. Different groups were going out. Our team was out there one night, and I went out there and just having a night of worship. And the team got into one of those spontaneous just times of worship, and you could just feel the presence of God getting thicker and thicker and thicker. It was very intense, and it was just one of those real thick atmospheres. And in the middle of that, while I'm worshiping, all of a sudden I had a vision. And it's like everything opened up before me. And here I saw this property that we're now on. We did not have a building on this property, but I saw the building very similar to what we're now in on this property. But on the south end of the property, I was looking at it from the front, just like this direction here from out on the road. And I could see a building, and I could see this open spot just south of the building. I saw a huge angel came down. This was in a vision. Came down, like that. Wings spread out wide behind him. Hand stretched forth. In this hand, he had a broad blade sword, and the broadness of the blade was turned this way, pointing toward heaven, holding it out, just like you would dip it and knight someone. He was holding it out. In this hand was a harp, not the kind that we would see played today, but one similar to what we see described, the kind David would play, kind of U-shaped, not many strings on it. He had a sword in this hand, had a harp in the other hand, and held them forth. And I'm watching this, and then I heard the Lord say, I want you to launch the Institute of Creativity. And when those words were spoken, all of a sudden the wind started blowing. It was real unusual because it was blowing from all four directions against the building that was here. Then I started seeing money. I don't know what denomination the bills were. I'll just say there were hundreds. I like that. But they were coming from the four winds, just hitting the building, just like you would see leaves being caught up and carried in the wind. This money was hitting the side of the building and just falling in piles up against the building. And I watched this for several seconds, and then that was it. You know? And so I saw that. I can't deny what I saw. The building was, now the building's here. I knew the building wasn't the Institute of Creativity. That was the church, because we had already been talking about the plan. And so that's coming. And that's the power of a revelatory encounter for me. It unlocked vision to me. Unlocked the future of part of what we're to do going forward. And I decree and declare this morning that those winds are going to blow and that money is going to come in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And this building will be completely paid off. And that new facility will be put in its place. And the money will come in, because there was plenty of it, to put all the staff that we will need, all the artisans that we will need. And there will be painters, there will be sculptors, there will be artists, there will be poets. There will be lyricists and so forth, all the expressions of the art, dance, and all of that. I just see this in full during the week with people working with children and pouring into them. And we've already got a preliminary plan out there. But when you go by that, you pray over that and you agree with me and you declare with me that the wind will blow, the money is coming, and the building will emerge, and that ministry will be birthed in Jesus' name. You see, God can do that for like an entire congregation, but He can do it for your life too. Whether it's a dream, whether it's a vision, whether it's a revelatory moment in a message like this that awakens something inside of you. Some of you may be very desperate this morning, but what can happen in a time of desperation when the Word of God starts going forth? It can awaken desire. Desire begins to be birthed, and that desire begins to grab hold of the dream that God gives you. And all of a sudden, there's motivation there. You see, when God gives you vision, then provision follows, right? When you take that step of faith, then what you're going to need will be there. That's the way God works. The power of revelatory encounters. Let's look for a moment about the power of Holy Spirit outpouring. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Really, the whole book of a whole chapter of Acts is in view here. But toward the end, we get the summary statement of what happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. The scripture before we saw, the unbeliever falls down on his face and worships God. That's one person having a revelatory encounter. Here's an outpouring where 3,000 folks have an encounter with God. Get saved. They saw the tongues of fire. They heard the sound of a rushing mighty wind. They heard the word of God prophetically declared, reaching back to Joel and announcing, this is a God moment. This is that which Joel prophesied. And God's Spirit was moving among the people. There were mockers. Ah, they're drunk. But there were many who were cut to their heart and began to repent. 3,000 of them got saved. Encountered God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was poured out. Now that initiated the birth of the church, Pentecost. And that particular outpouring will never be duplicated. It began something. But the Holy Spirit still being poured out on people. Again and again and again and again. I was reading this week about Billy Graham. Billy Graham, born in North Carolina, his dad was a farmer. One summer, when Billy was 16 years old, his dad invited a group of about 20 other believers that came on this farm, and they just had a day of prayer. During that day, one of them prophesied, Lord, raise up out of North Carolina a young man who will preach the gospel to the whole world. Billy Graham wasn't even saved. But later that year, he went to a revival meeting held by a man by the name of Mordecai Ham. He was preaching the gospel. Billy Graham came under conviction, gave his life to Christ, and was saved that night. He started growing. The Lord began to deal with him about being called into the ministry. So he went to Bob Jones University. It was kind of a little stiff there for him. There were too many rules, and it was an independent fundamentalist Baptist university. And Bob Jones Sr. told him, said, Billy, you probably, because Billy's like, I'm leaving. He wasn't doing so well. I'm going to go somewhere else. And Bob Jones Sr. told him, said, if you leave here, about all that'll ever happen to you is you might pastor some little church out in the sticks somewhere. But he encouraged him, said, but you need to keep moving forward with God because there's something in your voice that tells me God's got great plans for you. He ended up going to a Bible college in Florida to pursue the Lord, pursue God's call on his life. He'd get out in a canoe out past the school, He'd row out to a little island in the middle of that lake, get out on that island by himself and just preach. He'd do that. He ended up having his heart broken because there was a girl he thought he was going to marry and it didn't work out and his heart was very broken. He ended up going to Wheaton College and work on his master's. There he got on fire for God, met Miss Ruth, whom he married, and he became involved with Youth with a Mission. 3 years later, he became president. And then in 1946, he goes to England because there's a conference being held there. While he was there, there was a young Welsh evangelist by the name of Stephen Olford who was preaching. Billy Graham sat in a service and heard Stephen Olford preach out of Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Billy Graham watched Stephen Olford preach, and he started thinking, I got to have what that man has. He sensed a strong anointing on Stephen Olford's life. So he met him afterwards, got to talking to him. Short of the story, he spent 2 days in a hotel room with Stephen Olford. They went back and forth going through the Scriptures. And Billy Graham's telling him, I want what you have. Whatever it is I want. The second day, Stephen Olford told him about his experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit and how it changed his life. Billy Graham said, I want that. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want what you have. He got down on his knees. He started praying, Lord, I want what this man has. I want. And he said he died to himself. He realized that without a Calvary, there can't be a Pentecost. He became broken and humble before God, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he began to say, I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. Stephen Olford, who, by the way, was the person I studied under at the Olford Institute of Biblical Preaching when I was working on my Doctor of Ministry in Expository Preaching, he was a preacher that was anointed by the Spirit of God. He testifies that he went to a meeting that same night where Billy Graham would be preaching. He said when Billy Graham got up and preached, he hadn't seen anything like it. He said that he had an anointing on his life unlike anything he had seen. That by the time he got the invitation, the whole room emptied into the altar to get their lives right with God. Stephen Olford went home that night. When he went in, his daddy said, what happened to you? It looks like you've got a glow on you. What happened? He said, I have been in a meeting tonight where Billy Graham preached, this man is going to be used of God to change the world. You see, that happened with an encounter with the Holy Spirit. He testified that Billy Graham's preaching went to a whole new place that night after he had been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit's for this happened here on February 26th. We had an overflow weekend. And it happened. There was an outpouring. It was unplanned. It wasn't on the day timer. When the Holy Spirit came, I became a broken man. That wasn't in my notes. And it's just one of those things that happened. And then across the room, people began to come. And our dear sister Susan there, her testimony, I've shared it with several people. It's so powerful. When the Spirit of God hit her, she said it came off and hit her. She, an RN, had a heart problem with her valves leaking with holes in them. At one time, been on a transplant list. And it was scheduled. She had had several tests that year. I think you told me three or four tests. She said she stood here. Am I telling the truth, sister? She stood here, felt like an iron, a rod of iron that was on fire, was plunged through her here, cut out her back, thought she was having a cardiac arrest, a heart attack. Thought, well, if I'm going to die, at least I'm going to die in church. But God touched her Then a little bit, I think Pastor Doc laid hands on you, filled with the Holy Spirit, started speaking in tongues. Goes to UAB Hospital the following Thursday. Hey, you hadn't heard it all yet. Goes to UAB Hospital the following Thursday for a six-hour test. 6 hours of test. When the tests were over, the doctor says, called him in the room and said, well, I don't know how to tell you this. She thought it was bad news. Like, this is it. Because that's what everybody had been telling her that she had gone to, all the other tests. The Lord says, the doctor says, you have no sign of any heart problems. God healed her. That happened in a moment of outpouring, an encounter. Many people encountered. I encountered God that day. God did that. God did that. The Holy Spirit just was poured out in a moment. And we should relish those times. We should thank God for those times. Powerful things can happen. God can do more in a Holy Ghost moment than all the armies that ever marched, that have ever lived, could ever marshal enough strength to do. He can do that in a moment. Power of the Holy Spirit outpouring. Let me share a third one. There's Billy Graham and Stephen Olford, by the way, when they were younger. Two mighty men of God. Now both with the Lord. Let's talk now for a moment about power of signs and wonders. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. I touched on this back in January. But we're back again. Look, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them. But the people esteemed them highly. Now notice this. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Notice that. That's what happened. Now, look at this. We're going to move on from power and signs and wonders. I'm going to put these together. Power of healing and deliverance. After these signs and wonders started happening, it says, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. That tells you how sick they were right there. That at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. There's no way to explain this but this way. Those people came expecting to get into proximity to what God was doing there in Jerusalem among the early church and expected that God would touch them and heal them. And then it goes on to say, and also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Now there's you an atmosphere that's anointed. There's some kingdom activity. There's the place where God encounters are happening. Why can't we be a holy hub where God encounters take place? More, Lord! More, Lord! I don't say that braggingly. I say that out of hunger. I say that out of desire. I say that out of faith, because this is what the Word of God says. When the church is rolling like she's supposed to roll, then people start rolling to where that anointing is manifested. They get changed, then they take it from there to the nations. Why can't you have an encounter like that today? Dial up your hunger. Spend more time on your knees. Pray for God to mold you and shape you. Be willing to die to some things. Listen, you know what validates that it's a move of God? You know what validates that it's a legitimate God encounter? Because when it's a God encounter, all of a sudden, your worldly desires, your pursuit of worldly desires, shift to pursuit of godly desires. You know it's a God encounter when all of a sudden what used to be works of flesh operating in your life is now just manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You know it's a God encounter when your earthly efforts are laid aside Because a heavenly anointing is abiding in you. And you realize more can happen when I'll just put it in God's hand and do what God says than 1,000 lifetimes of my own ingenuity, clever planning, and slick ideas. We need God in our lives. Our nation needs God. This is what we need. Listen, when this happens, all that stuff that so occupies everybody is going to be like cotton candy. It's gone. I'm talking about heart by heart. Now, there's some people that are going to always be on that. But where God's moving this way, people that are hungry and really wanting what God's want, things start changing. I encourage you, stay hungry. I encourage you, don't quit. Don't cease. Don't give up. Pursue the Lord. Power of healing and deliverance. I got a call one day about praying for a young woman. And we agreed on the place that we'd meet and pray. I brought someone with me and she had several people with her. We met with her. She was, by the way, she was an RN nurse as well. Young woman. She was probably in her early 30s. She had suffered a whole lot with female problems, endometriosis, I think fibroid tumors, those kind of things, but extreme pain. The doctors had not been able to help her because of her age. She did not want to have the surgery just to have all that removed. She was in pitiful shape. I remember when they got her out of the car and finally got her into the room where we were praying, she was holding her stomach like this and tears were coming down her eyes and she could just needed help just going anywhere. We got her into the room, started praying, just worshiped a minute, just thanking the Lord, praising the Lord. In the middle of that, first thing we talked about, revelation came. Lord gave a word of knowledge and then a discerning of spirits came. Those two things. I shared the word of knowledge. She said, yes, that's right. And I said, well, I think we need to pray, and this is what we need to pray about. It was one of those times when I heard spirit of infirmity. I don't think you always had to know, but for whatever reason, that's just what I heard by the Spirit. I said, we're going to pray. I anointed her with oil and prayed with her. And after we started praying, it wasn't 30 seconds to that sweet young woman. She began crying. She said, oh my goodness, the pain, it's gone. It's gone. She stood up. Her hand shot up. She said, oh my God, He has healed me. He has healed me. We all got excited then. It was just the most precious thing to see God loving on that young woman that way. God honoring His word. We just stepped in obedience into something God said to do, then in the name of Jesus and the authority of Jesus, we bound that spirit of infirmity, commanded it to be gone, and then spoke healing in Jesus' name. And God did what He said in His Word He would do. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And it wasn't momentary. She called and got her an appointment with the specialist, went back to the doctor. This was like a few weeks later that she was able to see him. He checked everything out and said, I can't find anything wrong anymore. And that was her opportunity. She said, let me share with you what happened. And she told about receiving prayer for healing, how God touched her and all the pain left. And she said, I haven't had any since. She said, and I thank God for God honoring doctors. I thank God for doctors and nurses. All good gifts come from the Lord. Don't be one of those people that have bad things to say about people trying to help suffering people. Okay? She told her doctor that, and he said, well, whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. He could not deny that she had been healed and made whole, although all the previous tests indicated exactly what the problem was. The problem wasn't there to be indicated anymore. Why? Because of the power of the healing and deliverance of Jesus Christ. And He's still doing it, dear friend. He's still doing it. Let us marshal our faith together here at Grace House. Father, open up a portal. Open up the windows of heaven over this place. Lord, may it be easier for us to hear from heaven. Lord, increase our faith. May we say yes to praying more in the Holy Spirit, building up our most holy faith. May we spend more time in the Word, reading, memorizing the Word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. May we be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. May we be a people through whom Jesus can shine. May we see these encounters because of these revelatory encounters, these signs and wonders, the Holy Spirit outpouring, healing and deliverance encounters. More, Lord, that Your name may be honored, that Your kingdom may be expanded. Jesus, be honored in this house this morning as we stand. Our worship team is coming. Jesus, be honored in this place this morning. For those of you here this morning, you feel like there's an emptiness inside of you. You've been looking for something to fill it. Let me tell you, it's not something. It's a someone. And His name is Jesus. You can know Him today. If you don't know Christ, I encourage you to make your way to this altar right now. And our prayer team members are coming. They're going to be here. And they will pray with you. I also just invite you, if you're hungry, we're going to step into the ministry of the laying on of hands. If you're hungry, you need a fresh touch from God, then come. Just come and stand in this altar. I want a fresh touch from God. I'm ready for a God encounter. Maybe you're in the middle of a battle and you need encouragement. Let somebody pray with you. Lay hands on you. Just come and receive this morning. Father, I pray that this invitation time, Lord, we know we can't make anything happen, but Lord, we're positioning ourselves before You this morning. Do what You want to do. Holy Spirit, have Your way during this time of response and ministry. God, I pray the gifts of the Holy Spirit would operate. Lord Jesus, we decree and declare that You are Savior. Save people here today. You are healer. Heal people here today. You are deliverer. Deliver people here today. Those of you joining us online, He can do it right where you're seated today. I pray the Holy Spirit come upon you where you are right now. I pray that you would sense the presence of God. I pray that you would open your heart as well to what God wants to do in you. I just say in Jesus' name, if you're sick, be healed. If you're lost, call upon Him to save you. If you're bound, I speak to those chains in the mighty name of Jesus and say, be loose from that thing, that demonic thing that has a hold of you. Be loosed in Jesus' name. For those of you in this room right now, the same thing. If you've got some bondage in your life, today's the day of liberty for you. Just believe, when you come up here and stand, and when hands are laid on you, that the Holy Spirit's going to move and work to free you from what holds you. I encourage you, if you've got sickness, or you've got disease, or you've got pain in your body, to come into this altar. These altars are here, by the way. These benches are here. That's where you come and kneel and pray and get right with God. That's where you come and kneel and pray and make your request known to God. Come and make this a meeting place with God for you this morning. If you have that desire, come, come, come. Holy Ghost, have Your way this morning. Lord, have Your way. Touch people. Feel people. Heal people. Save people here in this house today. Have Your way, mighty God. Have Your way in Jesus' name. As we can begin to worship now, I encourage you just to come. In Jesus' name, I encourage you to come. I encourage you to come. We're just going to wait as you come and see if there's anything the Lord... any direction that may come.